Welcome to episode 91 of Count Me In, IMA's podcast about all things affecting the accounting and finance world. I'm your host, Adam Larson, and I'm here to introduce you to our next featured guest, Deepika Chawla. Deepika is a senior finance professional and qualified chartered accountant in India. She currently serves as the vice president of a Fortune 100 company and has over 27 years of diverse work experience in financial shared services and the banking industry. In this episode, she speaks with my co-host Ruba Zidane about her journey to the top and the challenges she and other women face in the finance industry. To hear Deepika's perspective on how women can make the most out of their careers in finance, keep listening as we head over to the conversation now.
So good afternoon, Deepika. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Ruba. Thank you so much for having me here to talk something which I am so passionate about.
Same here. I'm looking forward to your thoughts and your experience. So women in Asia occupy just 1.1% of CEO and CFO positions and country head positions, according to a 2012 Catalyst study. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, good question and really close to a lot of women's heart. So most of the people feel that women spend more time performing unpaid work, such as childcare and housework, and may not be able to handle a senior position. Remember, they feel that they may not be able to handle a senior position. Now, to shatter the unconscious bias that assumes women should be the sole caregiver or associated with housework, organizations should really create a safe and inclusive workplace where men feel comfortable helping with parental duties and household activities, giving both men and women an equal opportunity to look at their career growth by supporting each other. Now, really from that perspective, it is so very important that that comfort should be there to the women, that they can go, you know, and work, or, you know, they could be CEOs and CFOs because somebody else can do the caregiver job. Now, secondly, as you go higher, women themselves have self-doubts. And this will come into our conversation very often because whether they can do the job or not, and they hold back. Because that is very, very important. They have this self-doubt, should I be perfect before I apply to a job? While men at the same time, even if they are at a 60% at that job, they can convince you that they are the right candidate. And thirdly and lastly, in my mind, you know, unless the top leadership does not drive the message, this may still go on as these numbers only what you shared with me. Whichever news you're hearing today, whether it is Uber, Fidelity, lots of finance companies or, you know, otherwise, senior women positions are coming up. When you open the LinkedIn these days, you would see one announcement or the other coming. Now, that's primarily because the top, the top leadership approach is to focus on the women candidate on the CEO positions. So I think that's really important. And in my early career, I have seen women having children and taking promotions in the same year. So you need both the women and the company, and of course the men, to believe in that they can do it. So really, that's what I think.
Makes a lot of sense, actually. I mean, I'm going to ask you a bit more about your personal experience as a seasoned professional who's been at the forefront of your sector throughout your career. How do you find the industry has changed over the last 20 years? And what are some of the plus points that you've noticed which mark positive elements of change, evolution, and progress?
Yeah, good question, you know, because let me share, because it's important to let people know, and they say, you know, women shouldn't share their age. And I always feel very proud of sharing that. So 27 years back, Ruba, I'm 51 now this year, but 27 years back, when I completed my chartered accountancy, I was really one of those few women who was trying to enter the finance field and not through an MBA, but a CA, basically like a CPA from US, right? CA in India. And when I went on to do my first job, I landed up in a different city from my hometown. And trust me, I went through interviews where they actually called me to say, we don't hire women.
Wow.
And I was in shock. And big financial companies. And I had just completed my CA. I was, 22 and a half years old. And I was in shock. I thought I was like super. And it had really hit me hard that really, I'm not going to get a job after doing such a qualification. And from there to where now, the plus points which I noticed to the journey which I've had, and now where we see, we are creating flexible and adaptive operating models, right? We, as companies, we are actually saying focus on diversity. In India, diversity primarily is gender, right? And then you go on to other things, but primarily first you're looking at women because that itself is a small number. And today we actually have our own focus, making sure that you have equal number of CVs on the table so that you give an equal opportunity to them, right? You ensure that at least they get an opportunity to be interviewed, and then you keep tracking till the end to say how many people were hired and was there, you know, some biasness of make, you know, not having always men into the positions. So that's the second piece. The first one was creating flexible and adaptive operating models that which never existed there. Today, you would have a daycare center in a lot of cities right under the place of work.
Excellent.
Where you can think in nuclear, you know, families that I can leave my child and pick it up. Virtual has become a very big reality. This is a good opportunity also where I can work and I can take care also. Third is really drawing on non-traditional resources and partnerships, where I really want to bring the focus on that, you know, we never used to look at second innings where we want to get women back, but a lot of finance companies are looking at women coming back from there after a childbirth, or if they have taken a break for getting married or whatever. It is promoted. It is really well accepted. Adopting a growth and innovation mindset, which is from the company's mindset also, a woman's mindset also, and a man's mindset also, that, you know, innovation or any kind of growth is not limited to a gender. Innovation comes from a creative mind, and women do have creative minds. How do we make sure we get them on the table? So, you know, that's something which is really, really changing over the time, and the way the companies are focusing, which never happened at that time. If you went for an interview, or even after I joined, you know, HDFC Bank, one of the most big private banks, I was the first woman hired in that branch. And I had to make sure by the end of it, I really felt that we need to have more women here. They can do this job great. And by the time I left that branch in 2 years, we had hired some 7 more women. I didn't even know I was supporting diversity. I just knew that people needed opportunities because there was no topic of diversity at that age, right? I'm talking about 25 years back. Or,
but what do you think triggers this kind of gender discrimination and inequality? For example, in the finance sector, something that you've experienced personally, what is the trigger for it? Where did it come from?
So I think it does come from the fact, one is, of course, I think a big one is from the kind of stereotyping which we did, or the culture we were born or brought up in. It is very big one. So if from the beginning we tell the daughters that, you know, these are numbers or maths, you know, this is tough for you. why don't you take something simpler? When I wanted to do chartered accountancy, my grandmother was more concerned, will I pass the exam or not? Wow. And if I don't pass the exam, who will marry me? She was not concerned if I get failed. She was more concerned, how will I get married? So I think it's the culture, you know, the way we distinguish between that we want to give softer things to the women or the men, or from the fact of the way the children saw how their parents were. Today, when my children are growing up, my son's 25 and my daughter's 21, they've always seen their mother working. I'm a little doubtful if my son would not understand how to support his wife when she's working, because he's seen it in his house. It's very important for me to train my son better than my daughter, because he'll not be happy, Ruba. I'm very clear. Because women are finding their space. So that's one piece. It's the society, the culture. I think the second piece is the organizations don't create equal opportunities, you know. Though while many leading financial services have created, you know, active steps to promote gender diversity, this behavior has to become a norm throughout the industry. For example, I can give you a very good example of Fidelity. I was reading that in the United States has found that women want to thoroughly understand what the company's products mean for them, as opposed to receiving the condensed version men commonly want. And you would understand Fidelity gives financial products. So we've always designed the products keeping in men in mind. There they are spending their time with their women colleagues to make them understand what the products are and take their inputs to design the products in such a way so more women can use financial products. Just look at the 360 degree, how an organization is creating inclusiveness. So I think that's the piece. And of course, I keep coming back to the fact of women's on, you know, their own ability to put themselves forward. As long as you're good at job, you're approachable, you work well in the team, then you can work well everywhere, and whether it's men or women. Now, what becomes the biggest challenge is that women in general tend to strive to achieve perfection, like I shared earlier, a little bit more than men do. Now, this results in a lot of insecurities and fear that if, can I do this? Will I be able to do this? And I start bashing myself up. And I used to do this quite a lot in the beginning of the, you know, career. And when I wanted to take a plunge, and yes, I can do that, I had to really teach myself. And there's a women senior leader, Linda Zikakis, who once shared with me, and you can look her up on LinkedIn. Wonderful thing she's shared with me. She said, long are the times gone when you have to just look down at your work and think that somebody is going to give you the credit for that work. It's okay to raise your head. Know what's happening on your left and right. Raise a hand and say, I want to do this project. I am good enough to do this. These are my strengths. Talk for yourself. Don't shy away. There is no such thing that you can't share your strengths with people. And it's in a modest way. And half of the time we think, oh, am I showing off? And I hold back. So really three things: society, the culture we are brought in, organizations themselves, how they define it. And third, women, how they should do it.
These are very, very sound pillars, actually. Would you say that the finance industry is progressive enough to welcome gender equality? And if not, where do you think those limitations lie?
Direct answer, yes, it is progressive. Is it enough? No. There is a lot of work to be done. And I feel that there's a lot of focus which has to be there, a real focus. So if I quote some numbers to you, in 2017 World Economic Forum Global Gender Gap Report, female talent remains one of the most underutilized business resources. And in some of the industries, and especially finance, it is especially clear that career level, as the career level rises, the female representation declines. Although 45% of the financial services employees are women, at the executive level, it's only 15%. And as I shared with you, you know, in 1993, when I wanted a job, that was an entry job, and they were saying that, you know, we don't hire women. We just wanted to be making sure that, you know, you are a woman. My CV said I'm a woman, and I was like really bogged about it. Joining a bank and being the only woman in there was something which I really wanted to challenge. And, you know, really taking perceptions, which I shared, which becomes stereotyping. These are the limitations. Women are not good with numbers, right? That's something we've always talked about that. And I really... Exactly. Thank you, Ruba, picking that up. They are the best managers. They are so organized. They can multitask so well. They can look at multiple funds at the same time. What are we seeing? And if you look at the results, the maths, the numbers results in any of the examinations, you will see women topping. It's only when you are trying to reach the higher levels, I think the marketing stunt where you need to really get up and say, I can do this, holds them back. So the second is that, you know, in the society, women really shoulder more responsibilities at home. If we can make that equal and we can let the talent come out and work on both the sides, I think it will make a huge difference. And a big percentage really thinks that they may not be able to do higher roles, like I shared with you. They don't ask for the project till they are 100% sure. And it's really not an ambition game, but it's a perspective game. Women need to reframe their own unconscious bias to say that I can do it. I'm a strong person. I don't have to shy away or feel bad. And I read this very often for myself, you know, and if I can do things and I don't have to sit late, it's okay. And a couple of things, you know, and we were really looking at it from the fact of what you talked, you know, the perspective, what are those limitations? I would like to really, really call that out, that things are changing in this COVID situation. And we women and should take advantage of that also and not feel anything about it from a negative way, because there are no football clubs now. Everybody works home from home. It's virtual. So make the most of it, because now it's an equal playground also. Network the way everybody networks. And I probably missed a point while talking to you, and it just came when I talked about networking. Today, there are so many forums, Ruba, where like Lean In, Beyond Diversity, The Star and Me, there are so many organizations who are out there to support you, help you, create that network for you. I think we should use it. We should really use it.
There is a kind of a perception that women have a tendency to not push themselves forward as ambitiously as, say, you know, their male counterparts. And, you know, What do you think? Is this a cultural thing? Is it a historical progression that just remained with us as women in general? I mean, you said you questioned yourself and whether you were capable of doing certain things. Did that limit your thrust forward?
Yeah, it does. Because every time if you are going to judge yourself, if you're going to judge yourself, trust me, there are going to be many people outside there judging. What you have to do is, you don't have to judge yourself. You have to have faith. See, you got to be aware, whether you're a woman leader or male leader, being aware is so important. So you have to know your strengths and your development areas. If you know your strengths, you can push yourself any way through. Cultural, yes, it is, because everywhere, and I think it'll change with the generations coming, Ruba, the cultural part, but we still try to make it more comfortable. No, you know, it's okay. And I'll share one example with you. When I was trying to grow in the last 10 years, there were a lot of my male colleagues who said, come on, you have a great life. Your husband's working great. You are earning so well. Your children are doing so well. Everything else is going great. Does not mean that I can't grow. I mean, that's not a compensation you're giving me for what I am driving myself. And I always say, besides loving my family, the other thing I do great is I work very well. And I'm okay with that. So I think there is a big piece cultural. And the second piece is our own self-doubts, which I spoke about, the fact that where I feel I have to be perfect. No, you don't have to be perfect. It took me lots of years to realize that if I'm 80% there, the balance 20, I can learn there. I have to have the confidence that I'm going to work, strive towards it.
This has been Count Me In, IMA's podcast, providing you with the latest perspectives of thought leaders from the accounting and finance profession. If you like what you heard and you'd like to be counted in for more relevant accounting and finance education, visit IMA's website at www.imanet.org.